Meanwhile, moving on in the broadcast, I'd like to tell you about a chair recently inaugurated at the Pontifical University of St. Thomas here in Rome. One which aroused my curiosity. It's a chair for unconventional or non-conventional religions. I remember thinking at the time, where was the Holy Spirit in this decision? And how would you define unconventional religions anyway? Were we talking paganism? That's what I asked Monsignor Peter Fleetwood, who was one of the guest speakers at this event. In my usual rather blunt fashion, I said to him, why would a priest be messing around with paganism?
It's very difficult to find a word. People talk about sects very often, but normally when they say sects, they have a bad image in their mind. And it's really an attempt by various groups of people who are supporting this venture to help Catholics understand particular religious groups that they come across, from Scientology to groups within the church that they're doubtful about, to witchcraft and all sorts of other things. And I was asked to follow Cardinal Paul Poupart, who spoke about relativism and new religions in Europe. I was asked to choose a theme, so the one I spoke about was visible and invisible forms of paganism and neo-paganism in Europe. Not exactly my title, but it gets an image across, gets the idea that I was asked to speak about paganism. But it's not right to speak just about paganism. Pagan religion is generally what was before Jewish religion, before Christianity in Europe. Neo-paganism is all the attempts that have been made, particularly in the 20th century, to go back to the pagan time, but usually with elements that have existed only since much later ages. So there are attempts to reproduce something like a pagan religion. The things I was trying to talk about were pagan practices that have never gone away. I mentioned the way we used to celebrate Halloween in our very Catholic family. We used to call it Duck Apple Night. It wasn't called Halloween in those days. It was Duck Apple Night for us kids because we used to put apples in a bowl of water and you weren't allowed to use your hands to eat them, but you had to grab them with your teeth, which meant ducking your head under the water quite often, which is actually an ancient pagan gesture. And there were also apples on strings, and you had to eat those without touching them with your hands. You had to grab them with your teeth. And we all used to stay in. The idea was to stay in the family because it was a dangerous night for children to be out. And that was leftovers from the pagan days when the feast that they celebrate called Samhain or Samhain, depending what version of the name you take, when they celebrated that, it was the Feast of the Dead, and it was always at the end of October, beginning of November. The Christian religion came along, and on the 1st of November, we celebrate all the saints. On the 2nd of November, we celebrate all dead Christians, or all our dead relatives, all the dead people. And the eve of All Saints is Halloween, the eve of the Feast of All Hallows, All the Saints. But we've kept lots of pagan elements, even in those days. But our celebration of Halloween was much more innocent than what there is now. What there is now is a strange version of Halloween, and it seems to be much more witches' night, or a night to go in and annoy people in their homes and threaten them with this trick-or-treat practice that seems to have come from the United States. But we can't blame them for everything. But it's not really the pagan Halloween. It's a new thing. But I think I grew up with a Christian feast with pagan elements in it. I also went on to talk about witchcraft, the fact that according to Gardner, he rediscovered witchcraft in the late 30s, early 40s and 50s of the 20th century. And he founded a movement which has now become Wicca. Some people regard Wicca as quite a humorous thing, because lots of manifestations of it are things to attract young teenage girls, particularly in the States, girly groups, and it's very much an adolescent pursuit. But serious Wiccans gather in modern-day covens, both in the States and more so in the United Kingdom. Part of the pagan story and the return to paganism is that many people, particularly ecologists, ecofeminists, blame Christianity for the present ills in the world. And the Christian and Jewish traditions are the enemy, so to speak, of many groups in the pagan world. And lots of people have left Christianity to become pagans, precisely in order to redress the balance and treat the earth and the environment better. We don't speak about the environment so much as about creation. But I think we've got to listen to that phenomenon and realise that sometimes we aren't wide awake enough about respect for what God's created. So in some ways I'm saying really the phenomenon of movement towards paganism isn't a thing we should ignore, but rather a thing we should learn from. I also spoke about the ecological movement taking away the male hierarchical patriarchal structure of Christianity and Judaism, replacing it with worship of Mother Earth, who is normally called Gaia. And I made a little joke. I said, I wonder if the Pope has discovered yet that the company responsible for disposing of rubbish in Castel Gandolfo is called Gaia. So everybody politely laughed. And then I said, I wonder what he'd do if he finds out. Probably nothing. And they laughed even more. So no doubt someone will report that to him. A more serious side of paganism is what you find in nationalist movements. This has been the case in Lithuania and particularly in Germany. A pagan element was behind the folklore that held Nazism together. And there are still many pagan groups in Germany that are really very political, ultra-right-wing, anti-Semitic, anti-Christian, mainly based on the experience of a race that was humiliated after the Second World War by what they see as a plan to reduce Germany to the state of a nation that was psychically ill, giving everyone a share in the common blame for the Holocaust. It's not saying the Holocaust never happened, but it's saying that the poor German race, which is the best race in their terms, has been humiliated grossly, and they want to restore the balance. But this has also brought other nationalist groups closer together, and there's a lot of racist, anti-Jewish, anti-Christian feeling in many groups in the English-speaking and German-speaking world, which do gather, and they claim that very often the police give them problems on the basis of their religious beliefs, but the police have much better reasons to keep an eye on them, mainly because of their potential to create real rifts in society. One of the things they say about Christianity is that its universalism permits and even encourages mixing of races, which to them is taboo. It destroys the purity of the race in their terms and allows unnatural mixing, which weakens the strength of the race, the country, the folk, the people. They would agree with Machiavelli when he said Christianity really emasculates the true virtue of humanity, which is its strength and survivability. Paganism would say this of Christianity too. In its extreme forms, paganism would say that anyway. And it is a much more complex and much more political reality than people seem to realise. Fortunately, there's very good documentation on this, and I hope it will be one of the themes that this chair for unconventional religions will return to, because very often it's there in forms that people don't quite recognise.
And Monsignor Peter Fleetwood added there that this could cause a lot of trouble if it were not dealt with. Our thanks to him for sharing his expertise in this field. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.